Welcome to Konrad's Journey Through the Middle East, a podcast by the Konrad Adenauer Foundation's Syria-Iraq office from Beirut, featuring discussions and analysis on contemporary political, social and economic issues in the MENA region. My name is David Labuda and I'm research fellow at the Syria-Iraq office. Today I would like to talk about Iraq's presidential election. Last October, Iraqis cast their vote and elected a new parliament. The struggle between the two major competing coalitions, Save the Homeland, led by Muqtada al-Sadr, and the coordination framework headed by former Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki over who will form the government, reached its climax in recent days. After a tumultuous session in early January, the Speaker of Parliament was elected and the date for the vote of the presidency was set for 8 February. However, the major political parties, al-Sadr's bloc and the Shiite coordination framework, both boycotted the vote, and the necessary quorum of 220 ministers of parliament out of a total 329 was not achieved. Consequently, the election was postponed to March 26th. This time, al-Sadr and his political allies, the KDP and the major Sunni parties, attended the sessions, but their major rival, the coordination framework, and others abstained. As a result, the quorum was not achieved for a second time and the vote was adjourned to today, March 30th, 2022. Today, as it seems, the quorum will not be reached again because key political blocs apparently want to postpone it one more time in order to have more time for negotiations. I'm joined today by Abbas Al-Ambori, chairman of RIWAQ, Baghdad Center for Public Policy, and he will help us to better comprehend what is going on in Iraq at the moment and when we can expect Iraq to have a new president and prime minister and a new government.
Thank you for having me today. Actually, the situation in Iraq is a little bit complicated. The president, we don't predict that the president of Iraq will be elected in this plenary session because the federal courts decided and proposed a resolution that the plenary session for to elect the president cannot be unless we have quorum two-thirds of the majority of the Iraqi MPs in the parliament. This is the main difficulty, that the framework, the coordination, Shia coordination framework, did not accept to enter the plenary session, and this is why we cannot have two-thirds of the Iraqi MPs in the plenary session to elect the president. Now Muqtada al-Sadr, he is trying to call the independent MPs and also the small political blocs who are about 35 MPs to convince them to join the plenary session, to have two-thirds of MPs in the plenary session, and then we can elect the president. So this is why we think that we are in a closed road, let's say, in the Iraqi parliament, we don't predict to elect the new president of Iraq in the coming plenary sessions.
And can you tell us why some parties at the moment are boycotting the presidential vote?
Well, we are talking about two kind of boycotts for the plenary sessions. The first is the coordination framework, who do not accept any kind of forming government unless they participate in this government. So there are about 88 or maybe close to 90 MPs of the Iraqi parliamentarians. And also the independent political blocs who decided to be in the opposition, and they don't, if they go to the if they participate, if they join the plenary session, that means they are in a way they are supporting the other side who are now choosing the president and nominating a president from the Barzani party. So he's the trick of the situation.
Okay, I understand. And the vote on the president is already linked to the election of a new prime minister and then also to a new government. Could you explain us this link a little bit more in detail?
Yes, actually it's linked to nominate the prime minister because the majority now, the alliance, which is they call it the three alliances, Muqtada al-Sadr, Barzani, and also Halbousi, who are representing the Sunnis. these political blocs, the three political blocs, now nominating the president and also nominating the prime minister. So if, as soon as they could form the plenary session, they can elect the president, and also the president will choose the prime minister from the majority alliance, which is representing the three political blocs.
Okay, so I understand. So basically, having the president on your side means it's more likely that your prime minister will be nominated and then he will form the new government. The two Kurdish parties, it's the KDP and the PUK, they it's a gentleman agreement. Traditionally, the president is from one of these two parties. And the KDP this time nominated Reba Barzani, and the PUK, the current president, Barham Saleh, as a candidate. And in your opinion, who is likely to win the vote when it's hopefully going to take place soon?
So as soon as we have the same candidate, which is representing the majority of the parliament, now, as I told you, the three political blocs, Sunnis, Shias, and the Kurdish, which is represented by only the KDP Barzani party. So definitely they have a big opportunity to choose Ribar Barzani because he's from the majority. But the rest of the Shia, and which is the, I mean, if we are not talking about the Sadrist, the coordination framework, they are more close to Barham Saleh, the current prime minister. And even within the Kurdish now a political system, there is also a big competition between KDP and PUK. But I believe that the opportunity of Ribar Barzani is more than the current president Barham Saleh.
And we have recently seen negotiations also between the major parties and smaller parties. Rayan al-Kidani, for example, visited the KDP and 5 days ago also the PUK. My question is, what role do small parties and new parties, I want to focus on perhaps parties that came out of the October protests of 2019, such as Imtidad and New Generation, and also independent candidates, it's over 40 in the parliament, play in this presidential vote? For example, Sadre addressed them in a speech on 21st of March. However, it seems that at least Imtidad, which has 9 MPs at the moment, and the New Generation, which also has 9 MPs, they have their own candidate, Rebwar Abdurrahman Arif. What does that mean for the presidential election? What do these, let's say, two parties want to achieve?
Yes, exactly. The independent MPs and also the new political blocs, the New Generation, Ishraqat Kanun, you haven't mentioned Ishraqat Kanun, and also Imtidad, these small groups, these small political blocs, and also in addition to the independent MPs, who can solve the big vacuum that we are in Iraq? Because if they choose one of these two sides, that means if they choose the Sadrist or the three alliance, that means they can start it with the plenary session, and we can have quorum in the plenary session, and the president and the prime minister can be chosen. So if they don't join, the majority cannot form the government and also choose the president. And this is why we find the last 2 weeks, each party, they are calling the independent to choose one of their side, especially Muqtada al-Sadr calling them to join and to choose what he called it the national decision. And he called them to join the plenary session.
Since you have mentioned Ishraqat Kanun, they have now, with independence, 10 mandates. And this alliance, as far as I know, did not attend the last session on March 26th. They condition their attendance to the separation of leading executive officials from political parties. That is, so to say, they demand a somewhat technocrat government. Is anyone, Sadr or Maliki, able to convince them or to include them in his camp?
Yes, actually Ishraqat Kanun is not one of the Tishrini or October movement. It is more close to the Marja'iyya ideology, and they are independent. and they have an initiative. They send it to the majority and also to the other parties. They says in this initiative that we will give you the government, and you should give us the parliament, because we want to differentiate between the two role, the executive branch and also the monitoring branch, which is by the parliament. So they want big positions in the parliament, and they spoke about, for instance, the chairman. They want to have a chairman of committees of the parliament. They want to participate in the presidency commission, either the speaker or one of the two deputies. So this is their, let's say, their conditions. If they have these positions in the parliament, they will go to the plenary session, and maybe they will vote to the majority or not.
And going back once more to the independents, experts speak of only 8 real remaining independent candidates who are not yet co-opted, but rather by bigger parties, but rather have a clear reformist or oppositionist agenda. What is their impact on the presidential vote, and whom do they favor, for example?
Unfortunately, the independents, they don't have clear vision even for their opposition, and unfortunately also they don't form one front and as an opposition alliance. But from time to time we have seen that this MPs go to this political bloc, or they form new political bloc within the parliament. So I believe that since they don't have a clear vision to the future, I don't think that they can play a vital role to the Iraqi political system.
So I assume power will remain in the hands of the bigger blocs and alliances. Speaking of today, Wednesday, 30th March 2022, it was the third attempt to elect the president. And why did it fail again? That is, why was the quorum not achieved again? And do you expect any progress, perhaps negotiations between the parties, the major blocs, until the next presidential vote?
Actually, the big challenge now is the coordination framework. They want to join the government, and they want to call to the Sadrists to unify one Shia political bloc, and then they form the Iraqi government. But the Sadrist, and especially the leader Muqtada al-Sadr, he announced that I cannot accept what's so-called Khaltat al-Attar, which is like mixed from different political blocs. And he believed that the three parties should represent the government, part of Sunnis, part of Shias, and part of Kurds, to form the new government. And we shouldn't form the government from the Shia majority. And he believed that this is the national government for Iraq, representing the all components of the Iraqis. This vision is completely against the other vision of the coordination framework, who believe that the majority of Iraq, who are the Shia, should form the government. Now we are waiting whether the Sadrists will accept to the other vision, or the coordination framework will surrender in front of Muqtada and the Sadrist vision. So the balance will be made by the independent MPs and the new political blocs. Now each party of the Shia, I'm talking about the Shia components, the coordination and the Sadrist, trying to call these independent MPs and the new political blocs, the new generation and Ibtidad, to join them. So who will win? Everybody waiting. We cannot give a definite answer. What I predict that there is no other choice. The Muqtada al-Sadr, the Sadrist, should convince the framework or part of the framework to join them. And maybe the few of independent MPs also will join the plenary session to have 2/3 of Iraqi MPs, 220 MPs inside the hall of the parliament.
You mentioned an interesting aspect, that Sadr will try or could win over Shia parties from within the coordination framework. Do you think he could split the framework that way, and who do you think is more likely, if at all, in the end to join Sadr's government?
Well, Muqtada al-Sadr, he is trying all this time and the Sadr to split the framework, that we cannot accept the whole framework to join us. So he's still trying to do that. But the framework from the other side, they believe that they cannot join, each one of these parties to join Muqtada and leave the rest of the coordination framework. Why? Because they think that Muqtada will swallow all of them if they split and maybe one component join Muqtada without the others.
And for now, like in between the session or before the next vote, what scenarios are likely to happen? Some people, for example, talk of an emergency government. What would that mean? Or is it likely that we will see more violence, perhaps as a negotiation strategy between the parties? What is your take on that?
Well, I don't believe that emergency government can be happen in Iraq. We already have now a government without constitutional cover. New parliament do not vote for this government. So what I believe that the current government will continue doing the role to govern the country. And maybe from time to time we'll see kind of violence here and there to push this side and the other side to join any party.
My last question, when do you think will the next session take place for the presidential election? Some people speak of May, the end of Ramadan, but there's also rumors that it will take place sooner. What do you think?
Actually, the situation is not clear yet. Maybe we'll have another plenary session, and maybe another attempt in the 1st of April. Or if we don't have this, the parliament did not succeed in this attempt, then after Ramadan, and during Ramadan, we'll have a lot of negotiation. And the close history of Iraq, we have seen that most of the time Ramadan solved a lot of problems inside Iraq.
Thanks a lot, Abbas. I'm afraid we have to leave things here for today, but we will be continuing watching the situation in Iraq closely. Thanks a lot for your closing note and for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having me today. Thank you so much.
Thanks to our audience as well. You have been listening to the podcast From Beirut to Baghdad, and I hope to see you again soon. If you have enjoyed this episode, please click subscribe us and RSS feed us in your favorite podcasting app. Stay tuned on the topics, and please follow us as well on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Qas Syria Iraq, and on Instagram at Qas in Beirut.